This is Bird Note. It's National Poetry Month in the US, and we're celebrating by sharing contemporary writers' work about birds, which poet Susan Nguyen didn't think about that much until 2020, when the COVID pandemic began.
I was home all the time, as many of us were, and my neighbor gave me their extra hummingbird feeder, and we kind of had a competition just to see, like, oh, which one are they going to go to?
Susan took to naming some of her regulars, like Clementine and Jelly Belly. And watching these birds brought a kind of peace.
It was a little bit of magic happening every day outside my window during a time I think that was pretty difficult.
As Susan began researching her new feathered friends, she learned how much these birds defy our expectations. Like, for almost two centuries, scientists believed that hummingbirds' tongues worked through capillary action. But in 2015,
they found out, like, they've been wrong this entire time. Their tongues do not work like a straw. It works differently. And I just thought that was incredible that we went that long just assuming, like, yeah, of course, that's how their tongues work, you know, and then someone actually observed them, like, just set up a camera and were like, this is not what I'm seeing, right? And it was so much more recent.
Learning about these tiny, glittering marvels wound up inspiring a poem.
In praise of a hummingbird's tongue. So long it coils around their small skulls, a forked miracle that traps nectar, collects it in the beak and forces it to the back of the throat. That's where the hum begins, flicks in and out and again. Something about surface tension, how a dead hummingbird's tongue and nectar will drink repeatedly. A flock of live hummingbirds is a bouquet of white bellies, humming. Something about how hard it is to stay still, be in absence of sound. I name each bird as they float at my feeder, a glittering of green, the way they fan their tail feathers, the way they dive bomb each other through the notes of their body's hum, so small a marvel. But back to the tongue, back of the throat, anything but the absence of miracle.
Susan's writing often begins grounded in memory and experiences, and blooms out from there. Like this next poem, about her relationship with her mother.
Impossible Deer. When I visit Virginia in winter, Mom says she's been seeing prints on her snow-covered deck. Deer, she tells me. I laugh. Deer can't jump that high, maybe possum or raccoon. But she doesn't know what those are. Not my English words for them, and I don't know how to translate. I'm frustrated now at how often our conversations go like this, faltering, me punishing her with silence for not understanding. How my first instinct towards my mother is never kindness. Who am I to tell her what is possible? Just this morning, looking out from the deck, I saw the fire of eight cardinals burning in our honeysuckle, an omen. Maybe that was my mother, too. One landed on the snow bright as a radish, as the pendant my mother gifted that I refused to wear. Too showy, too loud. My mother has already done the impossible, making it here. What have I done? I want to believe that I can be someone else, a better daughter. These are my mother's deer, I'll tell everyone. They leap into flight on cold nights and return as red-feathered birds, spilling across the sky. A lot of it is pulled just from, like, what actually happened. You know, my mom did see, like, prints on our deck, and she was like, yeah, deer. And I'm like, that's impossible, you know? And then it just made me wonder, well, what is possible and not possible? I think it also helped me kind of get to a place where I could say something that was difficult for me to say.
Susan has always loved nature, but growing up, it wasn't an interest she shared with her family. Reflecting more on the moment, Susan realized that her mom was telling her about the animal tracks to show she cared.
Like, she wanted to tell me, because for me, that would be something I'd want to know. I like that that is a moment of connection that we have.
Every poet has a different process for how they approach writing. For Susan, it tends to be a little circuitous. If she ever has a thought of, oh, I want to write a poem about this thing,
I'm like, immediately now I cannot write about that thing, you know? Like, I can't come at it like that directly. And I wish I could. I feel like I'm a collector. When I like notice something, I have to write it down somewhere and it might become nothing, but I don't want to forget things. One of my poems, I have a line that says, I wake to starlings on the roof like rain. Like I wrote that down probably months or maybe even years before I was able to use that line, just because it was something that I did experience that felt amazing, you know, waking up being like, it sounds like it's raining. And then looking out the window and it's like, oh, it's all these starlings landing on the roof and now they're taking off and all moving into this tree before they move on, you know?
Here's the poem that emerged from that.
Murmuration. I wake to starlings on the roof like rain. How they arrived here is still a mystery. Urban legend claims a Shakespeare lover introduced every bird in his litany to North America. Watching the dusk swell with their flight, I choose to believe this myth. Twisting and retreating, they move in a continuous mass. We know all it takes is one. The seven around him follow, and then the seven around them until they surge like a wave. When they spiral, it's effortless, like the whirlpools we anchored as children. One kid would start, then two, then suddenly, wordlessly, it was all of us, walking single file around the kiddie pool, watching the center of the storm. In another place, a starling's murmuration obliterates the sky. Hundreds crescendo above their roost each evening, then collapse in sleep. Migrate to escape cold climate. Mom says I'm like a bird too, the way I leave, then return, then leave.
Towards the end of the poem, Susan references one of the world's largest starling murmurations that takes place in Denmark. It's known as Sort Sol, or Black Sun, because there are so many birds that it can literally eclipse the sun.
It can be up to like 1 million starlings a night. Like my mind can actually fathom what that might look like, you know, and how that takes over the sky and darkens the sunset and the sky.
Thanks to Susan Nguyen for sharing her work. You can hear more poetry about birds on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.